Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, a.k.a. Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Nightly, folks. It's been a minute, and that's all right. We're in the doldrums, but Mason, how are you, bud?
I'm all right, sir. We've had our little preliminary talk, and well, trying to find something to talk about has, in terms of the NHL, has frustrated me greatly. Just when it comes to like involving the Habs, because you know we're trying to talk about the Habs and not just random NHL stuff, but it's getting difficult with this portion of the year. But outside of that, I'm doing okay, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the only really Habs news is you're waiting on the Cole Caulfield extension. Martin St. Louis was just on Spit and Chicklets. Really good interview. Talked about Cole, in a sense of like, he was that example that Biz and them had brought up. Well, the example that led up to them bringing up, you know, what it's like being so close to, that's not the best way to word it. Like not being so removed from the game. What's it like stepping in a state like this? And kind of like we said previously on this podcast, that he's fit in every one of those person's shoes before. He's been, you know, the fourth line guy all the way up to the top. So he in a sense is at least has an understanding of some of their difficulties and things he can help them with. And they got on Cole Caulfield a little bit. Then there's they even brought up Lane Hudson. Thanks fucking Mike Rinelli for loving the small guy. Brought up Lane Hudson. Got some pretty good insight from Martin St. Louis as far as keeping it professional, but just saying, you know, he's got some things that are going to be in his wheelhouse that he's got to learn. But overall, a good episode. And then just the world championship and how, you know, Lane and a couple of the guys did blanking. And that's it. That's the Habs news.
Yeah, like, not, like we said, not like the most in terms of Habs hockey going on. Sam Montembeault played amazingly for the Canadian championship team. And like put up, I think he had finished like a 9.939 save percentage or something ridiculous. Canada ended up winning, the US losing to Latvia. So just an all-around great result.
you got the best of it, huh? You were like, we won, and my favorite opponents to lose.
Hey, think of it this way: Latvia declared it a national holiday.
I love that. That's so awesome for them. To see the videos that had came out, it looks so special to be there, so loud. And why not, dude? You placed, you know.
At their home arena too.
Was it really? That's even
cooler. It was in Latvia this year.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, hopefully that, you know, that leads to inspiring a young generation that helps this team get more than just, you know, a one in, one out exit. Hopefully we see them a lot more in the future.
Yeah, Latvia is usually a mainstay. Like they're usually in these events.
Well, I mean, making it to like not being a one in, one out playoff situation. Like hopefully they're like a strong team for the foreseeable future, and hopefully this sparks like a young generation to be like, you know, I want to play hockey.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Latvia has quite a few decent goaltenders, like NHL goalies, but in terms of defenders and forwards, like actual skaters, they do lack. But yeah, it's nice to see them do well. Obviously nicer to see the Canadian team win and see Montembeau succeed. And you know, we were talking about how this could be a huge tournament for him and his outlook for the team, and if anything, you know, this just endeared him to Habs management a little bit more and to the NHL as a whole. Montembeau and the Habs had a lot to gain from him playing well, and he did just that. He played phenomenally.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I'm blanking on this website. Before it was like it immediately brought you to it. Now that it's over, it's just like back to just a regular site, like promoting the next season. It's like what happened to everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks.
It's not good. But yeah, man. I think the last episode we were kind of talking shit about how Canada looked just average. At least on paper.
And
terrible beats everything else, right? That's what you're saying. Canadian just average is the world's best.
Yeah, pretty much. You got a bang. Bang on the head there.
Oh shit.
Well, yeah, so outside of the world championships, like I said, the playoffs are still going on. It is Florida and Vegas, and I genuinely did have to pause there for a second, that are playing in the final. Let's get your thoughts on this first, Corey, because as we've established,
you don't give a fuck.
I could give less shits at this point. Like Florida, our pick is gonna be either 31st or 32nd.
It's not even gonna be our pick anymore. We're moving on from it, and it's cool with me. Either that, or we're gonna find somebody that fell, that should, you know. That we Look, never would
at
have
the
had
end
a
of the day, we still have that pick for Ben Chiarot, and it's a fucking steal either way.
It's a fucking steal, baby. I'm excited. It's not either team I gave a fuck about. I'm literally didn't care about Florida at all, really. You know, I wasn't a big Matt Tkachuk fan. Fantasy wise, love him every year. But no, what a fun run it's been. It kind of reminded me of the Canadians, like just squeaked in and just went on an all-out fucking run, terrorizing everybody. Hopefully they can do the same to the Knights. But I don't care who wins, but I really don't want Vegas to win. But at the same time, there's like individuals. Like I'd love to see Jack Eichel do it in his first true opportunity. And it's just like, look, this is what I was capable of this whole time. And I don't know, man. I think it's cool. I think it's going to be refreshing to watch it without feeling the anxiety of wanting a specific group to win or a team. And I can just sit back and just kind of get fucked up and enjoy it for what it is. And hopefully it's a good series. I'm thinking six games. I'm going six games, Florida. I just feel like they're an entire unit right now is just on one. Yeah, And that's it. That's it, I guess. I'd rather Florida than Vegas.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like we were talking before, and I think in Canada it's difficult. Like it's the total anti-Canada series when you look at it from just a geography setting. Like this could almost not be further away from me. Like it's the most southern finals we've had since what, like fucking
since 2020, the bubble.
Is Dallas
was the true southern one.
Is Dallas more south than I guess it is more south than Nevada, yeah. So
it's not the point. So Nevada, basically anything that's like Texas is south, right? Oh, that's a song. I think this is double.
I know you're gonna say like, I know you're gonna talk about like
the South is the Gulf Coast, baby.
I'm just talking about what I'm saying is.
I know you mean south of America,
yeah, like just towards.
It's Latin definitely America. It's definitely cool in a sense of it's like if both markets are hot as fuck, as far as temperatures, like climate, it's like it shouldn't exist here. The only crazier thing would be Vegas versus, you know,
one of the teams plays in a fucking desert and the other one
plays in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, where like Canadians only go when they're in their 60s and they're escaping
snowbirds.
Yeah. And then you pair that with the fact that both teams are being led by young American
born. Mm-hmm.
Jack Eichel and Matt Tkachuk. Like Vegas has Mark Stone, Petrangelo, but I would say in terms of Canadian stars, they're actually they're not marketed. They're not big name. You know what I mean? They're not.
Yeah, like the big, like the main guys on the posters are just.
They're just not those guys. Yeah.
They're the young Americans.
And the Panthers are led by Barkov and, you know, like Bobrovsky. It's just not. And then you couple that with the fact that the big teams have been out for so long. Colorado, Toronto, Boston, New Jersey. Like,
I mean, look, dude, yeah, it was,
I don't know. I just honestly could give less shits. And like, it doesn't help that Sportsnet and TSN are just so fucking Toronto centric. I was watching SportsCenter for 2 hours today, Corey. They didn't talk about the finals once. It was all about Dubas and Brad Treliving.
The betrayal.
Like, there's no, it's actually just, it's pathetic the way. Like they're barely broadcasting it. Yeah, it's peak NHL. What's going on? But yeah, honestly,
that's terrible.
Couldn't really care. But what are your predictions? Like, who do you think's gonna win this?
I'm going Florida 6 games. And I think Tkachuk's gonna get the Conn Smythe. I don't think he can't be stopped. If I'm not mistaken, Dallas series, he scored. I think it went to overtime 3 games. He's got 2 OT winners. He's been clutch as fuck, and I don't see him slowing down. He's everything Jack Eichel is with a nasty fuck you attitude.
Oh, he's better than Jack Eichel.
Now, Jack Eichel, it's so tough, right? The storyline leading up to this is a fantastic one. The issue is that everybody in the league just like, I don't give a fuck. One, no one likes Vegas. And two,
if
no
Jack
one gives
Eichel
a fuck about
played
Florida.
For any other team, I'd be rooting for Vegas. If he played for any other team, like outside of the Leafs, of course, and Boston.
You'd be pulling for Jack Eichel.
Oh, I'd absolutely. I'd be rooting for him all day.
The storyline's so good. It's just two mishap teams. But with, I mean, it's still good.
You know, the other thing is, I really like Mark Stone.
He's falling.
I
just off fucking for me
hate.
A little bit.
I hate Vegas and Vegas. Vegas's fan base.
I agree.
But in saying that,
oh my God, Vegas was so shitty. I'm just remembering how terrible Vegas was on Twitter, 2021.
Yeah, they were awful. But in saying like all that I have to say about Vegas, and this is, I'm going to preface this by, I feel like it goes without saying, but I am just going to say it anyway. Outside of Bobrovsky doing what he did to Carolina, I think Vegas wins.
Okay. I think Vegas has the complete group. I think Florida has the offensive momentum and Bob.
If you're basing it off momentum, I think Florida is a team that could definitely win just because of the momentum. Like you said, the way that they're coming into this, just they're on a hot streak, right?
Okay. I'll get to it. I have something to lean on to. All right.
Yeah, but what I think you have to like kind of consider too is that Aiden Hill has a 937 save percentage.
Yeah, and he's in these fourth playoffs. His fourth string goalie too.
Actually playing better than Sergei Bobrovsky. has faced almost like I think he's faced a pretty ridiculous amount of shots too.
Wow.
But not to the like extent that Bobrovsky has. Bobrovsky's faced 504, I'm looking at now, 504 shots against. Ottinger is the only guy ahead of him. Bob has, like, at some point, that's going to wear him out. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And it's not just one. It's not just one line that's gonna catch it. All four of their lines are pretty hot right now.
Well, and like you look at Vegas in terms of where the scoring is coming from on both teams. Both teams are deep. Absolutely. Bennett, Reinhardt, Barkov, Verhaeghe, and Tkachuk have all been fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But Vegas has fucking guys who are going nuts too. Carlson, 14 points. Stevenson, 14 points. Stone, 15. Barbashev, 15. Marchessault, 17. Eichel, 18. They've got the depth to match, and I argue they have more.
It's terrifying now, the amount. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just old, but I feel like they shouldn't be getting to like almost 20 points. Like they should be where they are right now at the end of the finals.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that the Mark Stone, like I am huge on Mark Stone. The Mark Stone effect on defense cannot be ignored either.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's gonna be against Tkachuk wherever Tkachuk is.
And what it wasn't this one, it was the last who did Florida play last? Toronto, right? They kind of shut Tkachuk down for a little bit. It was like two games.
They played Carolina.
Last. Oh, I'm sorry, Carolina. They shut him down a little bit. I think there was like two games, or maybe it was the series before that, but someone was able to keep him off for like
two
games.
Let's not kid ourselves. Florida never outplayed Carolina, really. Bobrovsky destroyed them. Like when you can't score against the guy.
Yeah. I mean, basically it was that Florida series against Columbus. Columbus was good.
Because it's not.
But Bob was just like, yeah, shut it down.
Well, it's not like Florida was scoring a shit ton of goals either. That last game they had four, but I think game three, they won 1-0. Yeah, 1-0. I'm looking at it right now. Frederik Andersen only had, it was 1-0. They had 18 shots to Carolina's 32. Then you go to game two. It was the same thing in overtime, 2-1. Antti Raanta made 26 saves on 28 shots. Bob had 39 shots against. I think Carolina might have outshot them every single game.
Huh. Fuck.
Yeah, every game Carolina outshot them, outchanced them. It was just Bobrovsky was phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And I don't, and I'm not saying like I don't think it's cut and dry. I would never put money on Vegas winning. But if Bob isn't, you know, Bob, what we've seen throughout these playoff series, I don't think Florida really has a chance.
Hmm.
When you just look at who these teams have been in the playoffs and, you know, who they've been throughout the regular season, Vegas is, they're just, they've shown consistent. Who they are all year. And I know you can say that for every series of Florida shouldn't have won. I don't know. I think if Bob's magic even falters in the slightest,
they're going to catch
Vegas will pounce. They're not going to sweep Vegas. It's not going to happen.
No. So look, you brought up something about the momentum, and if Florida kept momentum, they can keep, you know, they can take it. How do you think that affects them with them the NHL scheduling to keep it away from the NBA finals? I think they're serving 10 days before the start of the NHL finals. So they've had a 10-day break. It's the second longest. It's the first is like 11 days. So I guess they're tied for second. I think there's another team that had that many days off before the Stanley Cup finals or in between the series. How bad do you think that's going to fuck Florida over?
I don't know. Like,
I don't
something to be really said, but like LA, I remember when LA was winning, they swept like their first like two, mm-hmm. and then they had like a five game and they still won the cup. I don't think it matters, to be honest.
No, you don't think getting out of the rhythm for a couple of days?
I think it can play a factor, but I also think that I don't know, like, I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think it makes or breaks a series. I think you're going to win.
Okay. That's fair. I felt like it was going to, if they got caught relaxing and shit, like this was a pretty normal big Southern holiday weekend. It's like it just falls in between when these guys have to play. I'm not saying they went out and got fucked up and shit, but it's like there's 10 days and in the middle of it, there's like a great relaxing day. Do these guys kind of fall out of rhythm? But no, well, fuck it. Mason doesn't care.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
So look,
I don't really care who the winner is because it doesn't really impact the Habs either way. And like I said, like it's just both. I've got nothing invested really in either of these teams. I think it would be nice for Jack Eichel to win a cup. I think it'd be nice for Mark Stone to win a cup. But I would hate for Vegas to be rewarded. Yeah, like I said, it really. Whatever happens. I'll put my money on Vegas, but I wouldn't be shocked if it goes either way. I think there's a lot that'll play into this series. I think it'll be a goaltending. Goaltending's going to decide a lot of it. And, you know, I don't have – if it was Carey Price or Vasilevsky or someone in Florida's net playing the way Bob is – I would say it's Florida, but because Bob has only done this for this playoff run, he's, you know, had not just holes, but cracks and chips in his armor the last few seasons. He's been
mm-hmm.
very average. I can't say I'm confident he's going to maintain it the whole way, and Florida's going to need him to. So it'll be interesting to watch. It'll be a fun series. I expect it's going to go the distance, if not six. Like, it's not going to be a close series for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be five. I think it's got to be six or seven. And I just feel like one team is going to slip, and you know, the other team, both teams are definitely capable of capitalizing on it. But I think there's just going to, the playoffs is going to be really based off of two key moments in two of the games that, you know, have that coin flip go in their favor. Before we move on, tried to get you the Samuel Montembeau stats. Love the IIHF website. You click on Samuel Montembeau, it says his position. He's a goaltender, left. His height is in centimeters, 1.91, yada, yada. We go and look at his stats, brother. We got games played, 7, goals, 0, assists, 0.0, PIMS, 2, shots on goal, 163, game-winning goals, power play goals, shorthanded goals, 0. He's a fucking goalkeeper. And this is what they provide us. So just been kind of staring at that for a little bit. So, yeah, that's Samuel Montembeau had a run of things. I didn't know he was slotted in any forward position. But before we move on, we do have a word from our sponsors over at DraftKings. So light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. We've been talking about the finals they got on DraftKings right now. Vegas is -125 and Florida is +105. So that means they believe Vegas is the true top dog in this. So I would definitely put a little money on Florida, not gonna lie. But anyway, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up for code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 or older in most eligible states, but ages vary by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. What a mouthful. We also have another ad read by our friends over at Raycon. Let's face it, folks. With coffee starting at $5, yes, without any customizations. I don't drink coffee. And our bank account somehow always too depleting. We are officially entering a dupe session, because that makes sense. Most products do the same thing, but are priced differently solely based on the brand name. So a good duplicate or dupe is crucial for getting the highest quality at the best price. One dupe you definitely shouldn't sleep on is Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. They're cheap as shit. You can throw them, you could lose them, and you just buy another pair. They're the new era skull candies that are actually worth a fuck. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of these other more big name tech brands. Raycon knows that in this economy, every purchase needs to be perfect. They offer buy now, pay later options. So right now you can pay as low as $18 at checkout. They have an easy and free return guarantee. They offer 2 years of protection, product protection insurance for just a few bucks. They offer free domestic shipping and flat international shipping, and they've sold well over 50,000 Oh, Jesus. They have over 50,000 five-star reviews. I'm fucking reading into shit. My favorite things about my Raycons, always the time. You got a standard 8 hours of play time. Like I said, every fucking time I put them on the charger while I'm at lunch, because I don't need them in my ear. And I'll max out my day at about 10 to 11 hours of play time. It's awesome. It's perfect for the average working person that has that ability to listen to shit. Noise isolation is awesome, especially now that I'm just cleaning lines. I don't have to worry about driving truck or, you know, dealing with keg load-ins at the Superdome. Now I'm just going to bars, turning my shit on, turning music on, a podcast on, and I'm just tuning the world out. I'm saying, hello, can I clean your lines? They say yes. I smile. I'll be right back. And then I come back as a mute. I'm listening to fucking music or whatever. I say thank you. I don't even hear what they say. I fucking leave. And it's been fantastic. It's very, very nice. Go go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/THPN. All right, Mason, welcome back. Dude, fumbled the last one. Yeah, I opened the prompt and it was not the main one. It was like this one that they send out that's always like encoded weird, so it's not laid out perfectly and it's got like numbers throughout it. What a rush that was of just anxiety. So yeah, bud, we're back. Mason has nothing to talk about, but I have something to jolt him into another decent conversation. So he doesn't know it. I know it. But the Premier League just did their relegation. And Mason barely got out of it.
What do you mean I didn't know it?
I didn't know that this was coming. This conversation.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry. No, sorry.
You weren't like me who forgot. Because of your job, you've just toned out everything else that's not the playoffs, and forgot to watch the crucial end to Leicester City season to see what would happen. And we are moving down to the what?
You're moving down. Would you like me to explain it?
Jesus. Yes. Yes, Mason, who watches football.
Okay, so for those of you that don't understand or know what we're talking about, the Premier League, the top soccer league in
England, I don't even think I mentioned that. Jesus.
Basically, the bottom three teams get relegated out of the league, and the top three teams from the lower league get promoted to the top league. Now, I think we've discussed this before, but basically, if I started a beer league team,
I love relegation system.
I could theoretically, if my team got promoted every year in like 20 years or, you know, 15, I don't know how many leagues, there's so many different leagues. You could theoretically, it'll never happen. You could work.
It'll never happen.
You could work your way all the way up to the Premier League. Now, this is what Ryan Reynolds is doing with
Wrexham.
They were in the National League, which is like three or four leagues lower than the Premier League, and they recently got promoted. Basically, their dream is to pump enough money into it to make it up to the Premier League. So you can basically think of the championship as like the AHL, except they're not affiliated. It's just a lower level of football. But it was very, 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 very close this year. It came down to one team was absolutely going to finish dead last. And the last few games, there were about five teams that could theoretically be relegated. Two of them pulled away, and it left three remaining. Leicester City, which is Corey's favorite team. Leeds United, which are a rival to my favorite team, Everton.
Honestly, that's the only good thing about this. I was like, all right, Leeds fell.
And Everton, which are my team. And the key thing to understand about Everton.
Southampton, sorry.
Yeah, Everton is one of what you would call one of the big clubs in the Premier League. They have been in the Premier League undisturbed, I believe, since like the 1800s. They have been there may be a blemish there, but I do know they've been in the Premier League longer than any other club. They are not a member of the big five, so there's Manchester City, Arsenal, Manchester United, Liverpool, and Chelsea. Those are your big five. But there's another two that are kind of like the big seven, and that is Tottenham and Everton. Those are the clubs that basically forever, they will never get relegated. They will always be in the Premier League.
Damn, look at
well, Everton has had some issues, lost a bunch of players. So big, like just really stressful last month, really battling relegation. And it all came down to the very last day of the Premier League season. Leicester's game started first. So I'll kind of say it from my point of view. Everton had... There was a couple nightmare scenarios. If Leicester lost and Everton lost, we were okay. But if Leeds won, Leicester lost, and Everton lost, we basically Everton had 2 points up on Leicester and Leeds. They needed to either draw and have both teams lose, or have both teams draw and they drew, or all three lose. They needed a good result. And Corey, I'm sure, I don't know, you said you weren't watching. Sorry, is that what you said?
Yeah, I had no idea what was happening. And also one of my favorite players is going to leave Leicester City because of the relegation and
yes,
implode my fucking team, dude.
So Leeds was losing 4-1. They ended up losing 4-1 to Tottenham. I was never really worried about Leeds. Tottenham, top 10, like they're finished like eighth in the Premier League. Like I said, one of those invincible clubs. They were going to lose. Okay. They were out of the picture. Everything's okay. No need to stress. However, Leicester and Everton are both tied 0-0 in their games. Okay. Leicester started a little bit before. And then the disaster struck. Leicester went up 2-0 against West Ham, which meant Everton had to win. They needed a goal, and we were only getting a draw. So it looked like against a team that, granted, not a great team, but Everton's pretty bad.
And we just had tied each other.
Yeah, went into the second half. Leicester was still winning 2-0. They would go on to win 2-1. So it was looking kind of dire. 57th minute, you know, like, you're watching the game. It looks bad. Like you can just, it's tense. The stadium's nervous. We haven't been relegated in like over 100 years, and the ball gets played out. And from fuck, I don't even know how far out, like 40 yards. Like I might be over exaggerating, but very far out, the ball bounces to Ducouré, one of our midfielders who I have liked this season. He's been pretty decent, but he's more of a defensive guy. He's not a big goal scorer for us. And he just takes this strike from way out, this fucking piss missile, and scores. 1-0 Everton. We would go on to win the game. It was one of the most electric moments I've had in sports in a very long time, because probably since the Habs Stanley Cup run, we stayed up, we stayed alive. It all came down to that goal. If we didn't score that goal, we were out of the Premier League. Just ridiculous. Like, history would have been made. Our streak would have been broken. And yeah, we stayed up, and like, you could even see, like, they were switching back and forth to the Leicester fans. Leicester fans stayed in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of same thing, like waiting for the result, and they were going crazy. And then once news hit that Everton had scored, you could see all their faces were completely blank. Everton was going crazy. It was just it's something you don't get in hockey. And it's just the end of the soccer season with relegation is crazy. And it was a tremendous moment for me.
Yeah. I had no idea what's happening. I was, at my wife's family's hometown, and I came back and I said, I felt like shit. I finally was able to like start watching the games last year and keeping up with them more. And I finally had time to watch. I said, they're going to turn it around. You know, it's been shit. Schmeichel leaving was like, to me, it's like without a solid goalkeeper, he just sparked. And I just really thought we could turn around. Like, we would be shit, but we would be, fifth, sixth worst team. And for it to come down like it did, great story. For Everton, for us, if we can get back and stay in, I guess it's a cool story, but it just comes at such a shit price. Like one of my favorites, Yuri Tielemans is not coming back. And it sucks. He had like one of those, I guess like a TJ Oshie Olympic story. Or was that World Juniors? He had like an insane goal for Leicester City's FC Cup, not last year, I think the year before that. And it just sucks. He got hurt towards the end too, and it was like the team's already in shambles, and now he got hurt, and now he's not coming back, and I have to. Going to support my team, but to drop down, I feel like we'll obviously, I hope we have success in this fucking league and we can figure it out and get back. But just a devastating year. I mean, the owner got like murdered and shit. Schmeichel wanted to go back to his country. We had one of the top players in the fucking league, or at least like the up and coming kid, and he wanted out. I wish I would have stayed up a little bit more to date with Leicester City this year. Because I feel like everybody that I like on this team is about to walk or get moved, to try to, make a better future. But yeah, I don't know. Fuck Everton.
Whoa.
Motherfuckers. But you know what? Sort of. But cool for y'all that like y'all, like you said, like y'all have been around and not moved ever, and for y'all to stay alive, like a reverse Detroit Red Wings, 2015, I think was that first year they missed, and it had been like 25 years of them being in it. But for Premier, you said what? It's been like since.
I'll
I don't even think you right put a now. Number, but it's something like insane. But like for y'all to like nail biter, like, the legacy moves forward. I think that's awesome.
They have competed in the top division for a record 120 seasons.
Shit.
they were a founding member of the league in 1888.
Wow. That is unreal.
And they've been relegated before, mm-hmm. but they have never been relegated more than 2 years.
Okay.
So they've missed it, then come back, then miss, like they've never.
Yeah. So it's never been like an extended period. They've basically stayed here with the exception of like 4 years, like the existence of the Premier League, they've been in it.
Yeah. Basically like
with like two hiccups.
Yeah. And even the manager, like, you know, talking about the team, they were saying like, you know, obviously we're proud, but this isn't something we celebrate at Everton. Like, that's the kind of club it is.
Yeah, it's like the Habs. It's like we have too much history to be like gloating about subpar, you know, seasons.
Absolutely. But did you see Luton Town, one of the teams in the championship that got promoted? Did you see any of that?
No. I was actually trying to look up who got promoted.
I can tell you who got promoted. It was Luton Town, Burnley, and Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
They all got promoted. Luton Town. So basically, I don't know the entire backstory of the club, but they are the first non-league club to make the Premier League. So that means, how to explain, it's basically what I was talking about. Like, they've gone from the very bottom. From the
bottom, yeah. I get what you're saying. Like, they didn't come into existence in the league below the Premier League. They came from well later and have had to work their way up.
They spent like 5 years in non-league football, which means like, it's hard to explain. It's basically like outside. So they like, it's kind of like what Ryan Reynolds' team's trying to do. Like, basically they get no funding. It's all, there's no support, right? So they're playing in front of, they're playing professionally. It's like semi-pro. They went from a semi-pro team in like 2009 and they've been working their way up. And if you actually look at their stadium, like if you look it up, like, and for our listeners,
yeah, there's a fucking meme of it now.
It's a fucking, like,
you, it's a barn. Look at
their like entrance. You walk through people's like backyards to get to this. It's crazy. It's never happened in North America, and it's why I love football. I love soccer. This is
100% Arizona right now.
and I say only 10,000 people, and it sounds like a lot because of what we're used to over here.
Mm-hmm.
Only 10,000 people are going to be watching the
Premier League. Yeah.
Manchester United. Like Old
Trafford. Yeah, it's like a date. It's like a date with them.
Yeah, Old Trafford, which is where Manchester United plays, holds 75,000 people.
Jesus.
So that team, that organization worth like $4 billion or something.
It's going, one of the most is going to play some a pickup game.
Is going to play in a stadium that holds 10,000 people, and you're gonna have to walk through someone's backyard to go play. Like, it's just unfathomable for an North American sports. It's like seriously, if I could equate it to something, it's like fucking the Montreal Canadiens going to play the fucking Shreveport Mudbugs after Shreveport has, you know, somehow worked their way up through, you know, the AHL East Coast League and made the NHL. So now the Habs are playing in a rundown barn in front of 400 people. Like, that is basically the equivalent of what Luton Town has accomplished.
I love this. It's like the kids at Arizona State.
Yeah, kind of.
Very cool. Yeah, no, it's like a big ass blue door. It looks like it's a door to like a compound. It's awesome.
No, it is a barn. It is actually a barn.
Hell yeah. Well, fuck. I guess I'm gonna have to watch a little Everton next year if I want to watch any Premier League. And I'll be dealing with the likes of fuck, man. God damn it. Yeah. Oh man. Swansea, Blackburn, Sunderland. That's an old club. Jesus Christ. Middlesbrough. Honestly, I can't even say shit because I think just about every game that that Leicester City played, like you know, they have like there's Premier League games and like randomly there's like another tournament that they're in. Yeah, and they're playing against like anybody. Like, dude, they've played against some like just not Premier League teams and got fucking shit kicked. Like all season. It was just like, what the fuck, man? So I hope to God we can at least, you know, crush this league, but I don't think they're pushovers. We got some big issues in goalkeeping, and now we got big stars moving on, and we're gonna have to fucking rebuild. And I'm tripping on your boy's name. He wasn't even a part of the team long enough for me to remember him. I'm not the biggest fucking, you know, fan. Unfortunately, I can't watch it all the time. But we had like this kid that was supposed to be like the next big thing in the Premier League, and he just wanted out. I was like, fuck. God damn it, dude. So that was like the only bit of this season I remember was us playing just below average and this new phenom wanting out immediately. And what were we going to do with him? Don't even know where he fucking ended up. Fuck him. Mason, where you want to take this?
I think we're
I'm just getting upset.
I think we've officially, when we've talking about football, we're past hockey, so I think it's probably good to wrap things up here.
Heard that. Yeah. I want to play FIFA. anyway, thank y'all so much for listening. This has been Habs Nightly. Thank y'all for y'all's patience. And we cannot wait to talk to you guys again soon. Please follow us on Twitter at Habs Nightly and myself, Bayou Benders. It's been a pleasure. This is Habs Nightly, and we'll talk to y'all next time.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.